Well, good morning, everyone. It's time to start a worship service. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's sing about having no fear with God. Let's all stand up. It's convenient for you. Whom shall I fear? One.
Morning. How are y'all? Tonight, we'll have a business meeting starting at 6 o'clock. After the business meeting, we're going to have a time of special prayer for students and teachers going back to school starting tomorrow. August 21st, there's an Engage training in Harrison from 5:30 to 8 p.m. And then
Children's Church will be in the youth room again today, so when you want to pick up your little one, they will either be up there or outside on the playground.
Also, this morning we have our Gideon speaker, Phil Guffey. He's going to be giving us the service this morning as well. All right, will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. I pray for the teachers, students, everyone that's involved with schools as we get started back. I pray for safety and blessings throughout the whole year. God, I pray you let us have a great word this morning and give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Dalton. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing the Lily of the Valley. One.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my safe. He tells me every care on him to roll. The lily of the valley, the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief forsaken and all my sorrows born. In the patient, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all been forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his side. Oh, all the world forsake me, and Satan sent me sore. To Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. Now to hear, with his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. In the garden. I come to the garden while the dew. Falling on
of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are
mercy is mighty.
knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. You are. Bow down and pray. The Lord is faithful yesterday and now and always.
Amen. Be seated, please.
All right. I hope I don't mess this up. Would the men come up here or make their way up here to receive the offering? If you're visiting this morning, there's a blue slip in front of you there. If you would fill that out and drop it in as the plate comes by.
Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, we pray for the Heil family and the loss of Bill, and we just pray, Lord, that your hand of comfort would be on them. But Lord, especially now at this time, we want to be able to have an opportunity to praise you with our tithes and offerings. We thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to share in the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that this offering would be used by you to further your kingdom. We love you. We praise you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This morning, Brother Lanny, he's gone to go baptize his grandson, and we have the honor of Mr. Phil Guffey, who's going to be speaking with us. He's one of the Gideon speakers, and he's here for us this morning.
Please, mister, a Bible. Jeff Adrian says he can still see her. She was standing in a doorway. She was dressed from head to toe in black. A veil covered all but her eyes. Jeff saw the young woman when he was distributing scriptures in Kenya. He noticed her as she was running down the hallway. She caught his attention, and he looked at her. She poked her head out, pulled the veil away, and said, "Please, mister, a Bible." Jeff will never forget that young woman, the desperation in her voice, the intensity in her eyes, the courage that it took to step out and say, "Please, mister." Jeff will never forget her because the Lord has put her on his heart. She represents the world in which we live. Sometimes here in America, we don't understand that. Jeff tells others that he has a comfortable life. You and I probably have a comfortable life. But as most of you know, the world does not live like that. The world is hurting and in need of answers. And you and I have the ability to provide them because the Bible, Jesus says, is truth. With the Gideons, I get to see testimonies from all over the world. I brought some that moved me the most this morning, and I'd like to share them with you. But before I do, I'd like to read one scripture. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." In these testimonies, you're going to hear, "Thank you, Gideons." But what they're really saying is, "Thank you." The Gideons would not exist without the church. So as we're going through these, and let me share these with you, just keep that in mind, if you would, please. Life for Stephanie was tough growing up in a family of 8 children. She was brought up in Taoism, the worship of many gods, and she lived in fear of the punishment of these gods if she did not follow certain required daily rituals. Life was pain, and there was not much to look forward to. When Stephanie started her first year of high school, a kind classmate gave her a pocket-sized New Testament from the Gideons. Stephanie read it with great enthusiasm and was very attracted to the flawless character of Jesus Christ. She came to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came into this world to die for her wrongdoings. One day, as Stephanie dutifully placed joss sticks on the main altar of her gods, without uttering a single word, she said in her heart, "I know my parents bought you from the shop down the street. If you can answer the questions that I have in my heart, then you will be my God." No answers came from the gods that Stephanie had been praying to daily. Answers to the deep questions that Stephanie had in her heart were found in that little pocket-sized New Testament from the Gideons. It was in that period of searching for the real God that Stephanie accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. God has changed Stephanie a lot since she became his child, and he is still working in her life today as he is the potter and she is the clay. Isaiah 29:16. God gives Stephanie and her family the privilege to serve him in Australia. Stephanie, thank the Gideons for their faithful dedication and distribution of Bibles, one of which was instrumental in her accepting Jesus Christ as her Savior in her teenage years. One afternoon, Mark McNett, a Gideon from California, he met a woman at his church named Denise. He was seated directly behind Denise, and he could tell that her Bible was very precious to her, as she had made her own tabs and had notes on the worn pages. During worship, Denise set the Bible down next to her, and Mark was able to confirm what he had suspected. It was a tattered, well-traveled Gideon Hotel Bible. After the service, Mark introduced himself, and he asked Denise if she would share with him about her Bible. She told him it had been with her for many years, and without going into great detail, Denise shared that she had once been homeless and had prayed for a Bible of her own. Later, while going through a dumpster, Denise discovered the answer to her prayers. Denise told Mark that she had thought about replacing the Bible with a new one, but then thought, "I know God meant for me to have this one." Not all of the Bibles and New Testaments that we distribute reach people in the way that we intend them to. Sometimes, with the Lord's guidance, they find their way on their own. What someone discarded in yesterday's garbage, Denise now treasures. Revelations 21:5 says, "Behold, I make all things new." The Gideons received this email from a gentleman in Ohio I'd like to share with you. I began working in the paper mills of Hamilton, Ohio at the age of 16. I lost my job and began drinking heavily. Eventually, my drinking problem and my overall demeanor became so terrible that my wife of 27 years left me, and my children stopped speaking to me. I lost our home, both of our cars, and essentially all of our possessions. I was a homeless man left to wander the streets. I was truly a lost soul. I stayed that way for 3 years until I finally decided to check into a shelter. While there, I learned where I could buy drugs. One night, when I decided I had suffered all I could stand, I bought a large amount of heroin. With the money I had left, I checked into a hotel. As I sat on the bed with the drugs next to me, I opened the nightstand drawer in hopes of finding a notepad to write a few last words. Instead, I found a Gideon Place Bible. I turned to John 3, remembering a scripture reference from many years ago when I had attended church. I found John 3:16. I set the Bible down and prayed, "God, if you came to save the world, please save me." At once it felt as if a light was shining on me, and I knew that I was not only loved, but that my life meant something to God. I got rid of the drugs. I cried tears of joy as I gave my life to God and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Today, I am employed as a convenience store clerk. I live in a small apartment, and I have reconnected with my wife and family. Together, we attend a small country church outside of town. I sing Amazing Grace all the time as I give God thanks for saving me. At the end of his letter, he added these words, "Thank you, Gideons, for providing that Bible. For me, it was the difference between life and death." The Gideons International is an association of born-again business and professional men. 248,000 strong, including wives, in 200 countries around the world. We publish scriptures in 107 different languages. We place Bibles in hotels, motels, nursing homes, public and private schools, universities, jails and prisons, as well as the armed forces. We averaged over the last 10 years, $82 million per year. Here in Carroll County this last year, we provided funding along with the churches and all of our programs. We provided funding for 253,000 testaments right here from Carroll County. So thank you so much. This next testimony was given to us while we were distributing Bibles at the Passion Play in Eureka Springs. It was given to us by a pastor from Shawnee, Oklahoma. There was a young man in their community, very troubled, always in and out of trouble, kicked out of school multiple times, in and out of jail. He started attending their church. The church fell in love with this young man. He gave his life to Jesus. They asked him what he wanted to do with his life, and he said he wanted to be a barber. He had to have his GED, and since he didn't finish high school, he had to study for that. They helped him. After that was done, they helped him raise money to open his own barber shop. He made one commitment to the church, that every person that sat at his barber chair, he would share his testimony. And he did so faithfully. One day, a man on a motorcycle drove up and parked in front of his barber shop. He came in, he had very long hair, and he asked the young barber to cut it just as short as possible. The young barber shared his testimony just as he had promised. The gentleman from the motorcycle asked if he could share his. He also was very troubled. He had failed at everything he attempted. He had failed at school. He had failed at business. And he had failed at marriage. And he had decided to take his life. He drove his motorcycle out to the railroad track. But as he got off his motorcycle, he could see a small commotion up on the railroad track. He went up to see what it was. It was a rat. And the rat was chewing on a little Gideon testament. It was so destroyed except for the two last pages. And that's the path to salvation. He gave his life to Christ and was saved. I'd like for you to watch a video with me from Asif Hassan from Ghana, Africa.
Aaron, it's always a joy to hear how God has used His Word to bring a man, woman, boy, or girl to faith in Christ. Tonight we're privileged to have Asif Hassan to share with us how God used the Word of God through the Gideon ministry to impact his life.
So this is what you look like. As I sat at the back, I began to think of what the army of the Lord looks like. And I said, Lord, may I see a glimpse of it tonight? And here you are, precious in His sight. Tonight, no amount of words can express my gratitude and how I feel in my heart about each and every one of you. because of you tonight, because of your compassion and your prayers and your generosity, I had been given the wonderful opportunity to have met Jesus. You see, friends, for millions of Muslims tonight, like I was, Jesus was just the prophet. But tonight, He's my Savior. Tonight, He's the lover of my soul. Tonight, He's my everything. I like to say that Jesus found me in my sin, black in darkness. He dipped me in crimson red, and now I'm white as snow. But it wasn't always that way. You see, I was born in the Republic of Guyana. You would know it by the name British Guyana, or you might know it by the incidents of Jim Jones. And in my home, we were all Muslims. My grandfather, like other religious men, would attend mosque on Fridays. And the rest of the days, he would live like a sinner. My father, as I grew up as a young boy, he was a drunkard. I remember many nights that we, my brother and I, would be in our rooms weeping as we would hear him beat my mom. One time I saw Daddy take my mom by the hair and drag her down the steps backwards. It almost seems that when things got bad, it got worse. My parents filed for a divorce, and my brother and I were split between two families. There, as I visited my daddy's family, he had an uncle that would sexually molest me. But somehow, God in His wisdom knew, and He had given me the wonderful opportunity to have come to Canada under an adoption process. While my brother and I came to Canada, or migrated to Canada, we began to attend a local junior school. And as we began to attend that school, it all somehow seems to have accumulated into something that was overbearing. As we got to that school, we saw the young fellows there calling us all sort of names. They would ridicule us. They would use crude words against our cultural distinctive. But what these young fellows didn't know, that in my heart there was already so much pain, and the wound was so great that one day I got sick and tired of it. And I'd gone back to my uncle's house, I got myself a knife from his kitchen drawer, and I went back to that school. And at 3:10, when school was about to finish, I went back and I met that bully. He followed me out through the back door, and there I saw him, and I pulled a knife on him and I stuck it in his neck, and he began to cry for his life. I bring no glory tonight for my sin. I'm just here to tell you what God has done in my life. Things got worse. My brother and I got ourselves caught up in gang activities. Eventually, we were in and out of jail. Many charges had been laid to my account. One particular charge was the charge of attempted murder that was later dropped. But in the meanwhile, while I was sentenced for that charge, I was sent to a jail to do 1 year in prison. And while I got there, very few friends, very few relatives paid any interest. As a matter of fact, I'd heard all the things, the insensitive words that they would use. You good for nothing. You black sheep. You'll amount to nothing, they said. And one day, the warden called me and he said, you had a visit. And the visit came from an uncle who was a pastor. And when he came to that jail to see me, he asked if, do you have a Bible? And I said, no, I do not have a Bible. And so I saw him leave the waiting room and he had gone to the washroom, and I'm not exactly sure what Christians do in the washroom. I figured he probably knelt before the throne. But I saw him came and he had gone to the warden, and there he got himself a Bible. And he brought it to me that day and he gave it in my hands and he said, "Astis, do me one favor. I want you to read the book of John, the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs." And he said, "Son, guard it with your life." And that night, for the very first time, I took that Bible back to my room. And I'd never held a Bible in my entire life before. As a matter of fact, I didn't want anything to do with the Bible or Jesus. That night, I went to my room, and I'm not sure how you read your Bible, but at the very tender age of 17, I couldn't read and write properly because I was always in and out of jail. Never got a chance to have a proper education. And I just did one of these, and I just opened my Bible. And there, I looked down upon the page, and it says this: "For he looked down from the heights, from his holy heights, and from the heavens the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to see those who were doomed to death." And I got so angry at God, I said to him, "Where were you? Where were you when they were abusing me? Where were you when they were beating my mother? Where were you? Why do you show up now?" I got so angry that night, I took the Bible and I flung it against the wall. And I thank God for these Gideon's Bibles. They are really glued well. The next night, I did the very same thing. I opened the Bible and I looked. And I saw the scripture, and it says, "Oh, that I should have wings like a dove and fly away." And I looked to God and I said, "God, do you see how high that fence is? Can I have those wings?" Night after night, I would pick up this Bible and I would read it. And God began to do something in my heart. I tell you here tonight, my friend, you do not understand how precious you are. You see, on the front of this Bible, it says, "Placed by the Gideons." And had you not tonight placed this Bible in the prison, I would not have the opportunity to know Jesus as my Savior. Had you not tonight, my friend, spent your life in placing Bibles in prisons and in hospitals, many of us tonight would not have come to know Jesus as our Savior. They've asked me, "Asif, so what do you do now?" Well, by God's grace, I've accepted the call to be an evangelist. My last crusade in India, I went to the state of Punjab. There we had a crusade where over 20-something thousand people attended. 80% of them in the 4 nights had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before or the whisper of his name. And every night, thousands and thousands came to know the Lord as Savior because one Gideon Bible was placed in a prison for a wretch like me. Friend, tonight I thank you. I thank you tonight. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you have sacrificed for my life. Thank you tonight for giving me life. Thank you tonight for giving me a wife that loves me. Thank you tonight for giving me hope in my heart. Thank you tonight for giving me back my family. Thank you tonight for healing me. Thank you tonight, my dear beloved. You cannot understand tonight how much you are cherished and how much you are loved by this soul. I pray tonight that God will richly bless every one of you, and that you will continue to serve him, and that you will continue to fulfill your ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Beloved, may God richly bless you tonight.
Sometimes it's amazing what one Bible will do. I would like to ask for your help in placing God's Word in the hands of millions of people around the world. First and foremost, pray regularly for the Gideon ministry. Pray that God will continue to open the opportunities for the distribution of His Word. We need more workers for the harvest. If you know of anyone that would be interested in becoming a Gideon, please let Brother Mike know. And last but not least is your continued financial support. You can help in two ways, one of which is our little Gideon Bible card program out there in the foyer of the church, along with Birthday for Jesus. And if you would, I've got a little one-minute video on that, please.
Give a Gideon card, the greeting card that changes everything. Gideon cards are beautiful expressions of faith, hope, and love. Unlike other greeting cards, Gideon cards are actually free. And when you give a Gideon card, you donate scriptures that God can use to change lives for eternity.
I picked up a Gideon's Bible and read it and became immediately peaceful in a way that I had never experienced at the time.
Each year, Gideon's placed some 90 million scriptures into the hands of people in over 195 countries, all over the world. Gideon cards, send the word and change a life. Visit sendtheword.org today. Gideon cards, send the word and change a life.
That little program, that little rack in the foyer of the church, in the churches in Carroll County, provided funding for 43,000 testaments here in Carroll County this last year. I just thank you so much for using that. And secondly is your tax-deductible donations in the offering. 100% of what you donate goes to the placement and distribution of God's Word. Many are waiting on God's Word. The need far exceeds the supply. Your gift can help fulfill our single objective, and that's reaching the lost for Christ. I've got one little last video I'd like to run. A Gideon from Heber Springs, Arkansas, shot this video with his cell phone.
I'm representing the headmistress. So, on behalf of the school, entire school, we are saying thank you so much. And then we wish that you come in here to give us a word of hope. God bless you very much.
to take a look from us. We say thank you very much. So ask you to go to the church to go to our favorite class. Thank you. I can go tell you what I want. See, I never let them use you right. So thank you. We thank you very much.
Thank you for allowing me to be here with you this morning. It's been a pleasure. Thank you and God bless you.